Turn this morning to Psalm 71. Psalm 71, and this is a song of old age. And thought of this psalm much when I think of one that you remember, Bob Brown. Bob Brown went to be with the Lord a little over a year ago, and when he was up in Connecticut, my last conversation with him, he ended it with a sigh. And he said, "Chucky, growing old is not easy, but God is always faithful." And that summarizes Psalm 71. And it is a psalm of the aged. So will you please stand for the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Let us hear now God's word. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. They who watch for my life consult together and say, "God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him." O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God, I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me. I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me. Until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. And may the Lord bless the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. Back in middle school, there was the annual game of capture the flag, and we would play this on a soccer field, and the middle 15 yards of the field was called no man's land. And there was always the one kid on the team who would just live in no man's land, and he'd run to the other line and then quickly draw back, and he just stayed there the whole game. And so he was not contributing anything for his own team or the other. And that's how I feel approaching this psalm. According to Google, I am in the middle age. I'm middle-aged, which means I don't know much anymore about youth, and I'm not quite yet old or aged. But yet we're going to talk about old age, regardless of my unique qualification to know nothing about it, except from hearsay. But this is a song of old age, and it brings to mind one of the many reasons why we love the Psalms. The Psalms come to us in many expressions of faith in a variety of situations. Psalms of sorrow, psalms of lament, psalms of joy, psalms of praise, psalms in the midst of spiritual warfare, psalms in the midst of rest and comfort, psalms of confession. Every particular situation or circumstance that a believer will find himself in, there is a psalm for you. And here you have a psalm of the aged. And I believe this is a psalm of David. It's one of the two psalms in book two of the Psalter that are not given a title or an author, but we have it closely connected in theme to Psalm 70, which is a psalm of David. Psalm 72, which closes book 2, is a song of Solomon. And he ends Psalm 72 with the phrase, the psalms of David are ended. And so there is much to be said for Davidic authorship. And there are many phrases in Psalm 71 that are taken from other Davidic psalms. And you almost have here David at the end of his life rehearsing God's goodness to him, but yet at the end of his life, still with persecution, still with opposition, still with spiritual warfare. And so David gives to us this song, this prayer, and it's very human. But it's also genuinely Christian. He reminds us of the difficulties of aging. Verse 9, he says, "Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent." We have these images of David in our minds of this strong shepherd king. All of the stories that we read of in David's prime. And it's hard for us to see here that here is David in weakness. David conscious that he cannot do what he once was able to do. And this is not easy to embrace. The mind still thinks the body can do things. There was an associate pastor who lived in a manse on a mountaintop in Tennessee. And he was playing a game of tag with his family. And they happened to be right out here. And the son and daughter were chasing him. And he goes down the hill of the play area, the amphitheater there. And he sees a fence. And he thought, well, I hopped over those many times. And so I made my pursuit, and I hurtled, and in my mind it was clear, but my feet never made it over. And there's the beginning of the loss of strength. And here's David in his old age. And what comes with that is the sense of uselessness. If I cannot do what I once was able to do, then what value do I bring? And so the petition is, Lord, do not cast me off. We live in a culture that praises youth. It praises strength. And this is not the only culture that's done so. And here is David pleading, forsake me not when my strength is spent. But we also see in verse 10, there is a continuation of troubles. For my enemies speak concerning me, those who watch my life consult together. It would be nice to think that when we get to a certain age, when we get to a certain phase of life, the troubles will be no more. The persecution, the opposition, the spiritual warfare will be no more. And David, in his old age, is I'm still being hounded. You can read his story in 2 Samuel, the opposition to his throne, even within his own family. The opposition. And the difficulty is now you face the opposition with less strength that you used to face those oppositions. And then the third, and this I wonder, is one of the heaviest of the difficulties of aging, and that is loneliness. Verse 11, the enemies say, God has forsaken him, pursue him and seize him, and says, for there's none to deliver him. Essentially, this is what the opposition is saying about David, but he incorporates this in his prayer connected to do not cast me off. And so there had to have been some fear. As he looked around, all of his other mates from battle, some of them have already passed. And he looks out and he just sees another generation rising up, but yet he is alone and they say there's none to deliver him. And David's hope is the reality that God has not forsaken me. Like Paul, all others fled, but God did not flee. But there's a loneliness. There's an isolation. And when we look around in our own small congregation and we see, as the psalmist says, we see the gray hairs. Some do not sit next to the ones they used to sit next to for so long. Yet, despite all of these difficulties, the psalmist sees old age as a gift from God to be used for his glory. Man and woman's chief end is to glorify God and then to enjoy him forever in all seasons of life, not just youth when we first memorize that question. We can glorify God in our youth, in your prime, whatever that may be, and also in old age, when there's more time behind you than there is before you. And there is the common refrain, I can't do much. What am I to do? There is much to do. There is much to praise. Some often may say, well, I'll just pray. Well, for those who are the objects of your prayer, that's more than just prayer. That is one of the great gifts of seasoned saints is a long experience with the God to whom they pray for others. The gift of intercession. And we'll walk through this psalm, again, not verse by verse, but more thematically, like a song. Every song has a theme. And really the theme of the song is in verses 1 through 3. David is going to give us the themes of his life, how he has lived his life in youth, in prime, in old age. And it begins with God. God is always trustworthy and he always does right. Therefore, seek refuge in him. That is the Christian life. Persecution comes, opposition comes, circumstances sometimes are rough. And that's just on the outside. Then you have the spiritual warfare, the temptations. And David is saying, as an old man, God is always trustworthy. God always does right. We do not always do right. God always does what is right. In his righteousness, he delivers us. In his righteousness, he rescues us. Therefore, seek refuge in him. Plead to him. And what a beautiful picture we have here in verse 2. And incline your ear to me. Again, David is conscious that, humanly speaking, as he scans Israel, he is the greatest. He is the greatest in Israel. But he knows that God is greater than he is. And the distance is so great. That notice how he asks God to hear him. He says, incline your ear to me. Bend low your ear to me. And what grace there is that God does bend low his ear to his servants and saves them. And be to me a rock. It's a great metaphor. It's a metaphor that speaks to the stability of God, the unchangeable nature of God. And so David is telling us, seek refuge in the one who has strength. Seek refuge in the one who is for you a safety, a safeguard, a fortress. That you find your rest, you find your comfort and your safety in him. And again, the fortress imagery here, what is it that takes the arrows? It's the fortress. But you're safe inside. And God is that. He's a refuge. And when your strength fails, God's strength never diminishes. He is eternal. He's unchangeable. And he's unchangeable in his strength. He's unchangeable in his rockness, his fortressness. I know I'm making up words. But he doesn't change. His strength endures. And when your strength fails, he's still there. And so, seek refuge in him. The Christian life, secondly, is sometimes hard. And this is true in all seasons of life. If you want to know how to respond in great calamity, consider David. And David, in all of this psalm, does not focus on his opposition. The fact of trial, the fact of struggle, the fact of unfortunate circumstances only set the stage for David to put the focus and emphasis on God. He is the God of strength. He is the one in whom you may seek comfort. But it is good for us to not have a wishful thinking of struggles. It's like, well, if I get to be 40, 45, whatever you want to put on that, then they'll go away, or it will be easier, and they follow you all the days of your life. But what follows you harder? What follows you with more intensity? It is the goodness and steadfast love of God. It's hounding you. It's hunting you all of the days of your life. And then, stating the obvious, you will not always be young. But do not wait to trust him when you are old, because as we've already noticed, being old is not easy. And there's going to be a pattern here that we're going to look at next, that in many ways, how you live with your gray hairs or no hairs is how you lived when you were younger. And so coming into the psalm, the great themes. David teaches us how to look at time. How to look at time. And we all struggle with this. When we're young, we look at the future and it may be filled with hopes and dreams, or it may be filled with fears. But we're looking into the future. When we live a little longer, we look in the past, and that may be with either nostalgia, or it may be with regret. It may be with, though those were the good old days. Well, if you read Ecclesiastes, there's no such thing as the good old days. And I think if we think that way, just think about modern plumbing and things like that, and we are grateful for the present day. But we look at the past, and sometimes we can look and say, I can't believe all the change, or those millennials. Right? And we put them down. But David is going to teach us a wise way to look at the past that is actually quite graceful. David's an old man that you would want to visit. It's not all gloom and doom. He looks at the past and he says, God has guided me every step of the way. God's hand was on the age from the time of youth, and this brought David great comfort. Notice what he says, upon you I have leaned, verse 6, from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. David's saying, look, as I look back on my life, and all of the victories, but also all of the defeats, God was there, guiding, upholding, protecting. And what present comfort that would have been to look back and say, you know, in all of these years, he's never cast me off. So when I pray now that he doesn't cast me off, there's a whole data bank of experience that I can say, you know, I will hope now. And that's how he looks back at the past. And he remembers these past deliverances and emboldens his present strength. In the early church, the second, third century, there was a minister named Polycarp of Smyrna, one of the churches you read about in Revelation. And Polycarp was arrested, and he was threatened by the empire there to recant, and if he didn't, then there would be martyrdom. And Polycarp's response was, for 86 years, I have been a servant of God, and he has never once let me down. How could I now, at this moment, blaspheme my God? And he said that when he was 86 years old. And so Polycarp's looking back on his life in that quick moment saying, for these 86 years, from the moment of my birth, God has been my God. And never once has he ever disappointed me. Never once has he let me down. And therefore, Polycarp could then face death, martyrdom, with hope. But the psalmist also teaches that there's a wise way to look at the future that is quite helpful. Verses 14 to 18. David longs to not be cast off by God so that he could continually praise God to the next generation. Oh God, from my youth you have taught me, I still proclaim. So even to old age and gray hairs, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those who come. So David, an old guy, he's looking back, trusting God, looking back, seeing that there is a coming generation, seeing them and then looking forward and seeing them into the future. And David knows that, look, generations come and generations go. But it's God's deeds, it's God's acts that remain from one to the other. This is what we all must face. Look at the history of just this church, just a small church. Last year was its 70th year. That the people who were here for they're gone. Most of us don't even know their names. In another 70 years, we're all going to be gone. It's just the way things go. But what will remain? The word of the Lord. The gospel, his mighty deeds. So how do we prepare for that? How do we face our own death and seek by God's grace and by his spirit enabling power that Wayside still proclaims the mighty deeds of God? Fascinating story in England, Charles Simeon. Many of you may know that name. There's something that remains today called the Simeon Trust. And Charles Simeon, he was a minister in the Church of England and inherited a great fortune. And in the Church of England has had a fascinating history in pockets of just strong biblical truth. And Simeon put this fortune in various dioceses, various parishes. And it came with a stipulation that only those who embraced this evangelical faith could be a minister in this parish. This is over a couple hundred years. To this day, in those parishes, those remain the remaining strongest Reformed evangelical proclamations of the gospel in the Church of England. And he's been gone for a long time. But he had the foresight to say, look, Lord, do not cast me off. Let me proclaim your mighty deeds. Let me proclaim your saving acts in history to the next generation. To all those that come. And so it's good to recount them, but for those of us who are not yet aged, it is wise for us to heed them, to listen. To listen to the power of God that has gone on before us. And then all of that, looking past, looking forward, brings the psalmist finally to how he looks at the present. There's a wise way in light of the past, in light of the future, to live in the present that is remarkably missional. And this is wonderful. In verses 19 to 24, you have David who cannot contain his praise. Your righteousness, O God, reaches to the high heavens. You've done great things. Who is a God like you? And is that not where we all want to be in our walk when we consider all of the great things that God has done? We consider the mercy, the love that sent his son to die for us, and we get the glimpse of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and we stand back and we say, who is a God like you? You are the God who shepherds. You're the God who comforts. You're the God who is our righteousness. You're the God who pardons. You're the God who saves. There is no God like our God. He says, you've made me to see many troubles and calamities. And then look, but you will revive me again from the depths of the earth you'll bring. For this is resurrection language. This is Old Testament jargon for their belief in. And there's something after, the hope. Then he says, I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness. I praise your faithfulness. I praise your righteousness. You can almost see David kind of sitting up and sighing and cracking the back, walking over to the corner and grabbing the lyre. Let me strum a few notes. And he begins to sing, he begins to worship, he begins to praise. And maybe he can't change chords as fast as he once could. I don't know. But there he is, playing, worshiping, praising with confidence. And this is one of the great encouragements of this psalm. It begins with, "In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame." Right, this prayer, "Lord, to those who trust in you, never let us be put to shame. Never let us be disappointed. Never let us down." But then you fast forward to the end, and he said, there is going to be someone who's disappointed. There is going to be someone who's put to shame. And it's the adversary. What great comfort. Remember Jesus when he says, "Look, all that the Father gives to me will come to me. I will in no wise cast out. And all those that are in the Father's hand, no man could pluck out." And in our Christian life, there's all of this persecution. There's all of this warfare and all of these attempts to pluck us out. And while we are in the midst of that battle, we are crying, "Lord, forsake me not. Let me not be put to shame." But when it's all said and done, the adversary is foiled. The adversary is the one who's let down. The adversary is the one who is put to shame. Because he can't succeed. And we don't see that all the time right now in the moment. But hope is seeing that in the future. That Jesus is the one who does all things well. And he will make all things right. And even David said, "You made me to see these troubles and calamities, but you too will revive me in the loneliness, in the depression. When the clouds come over and you feel overwhelmed, it is the believer who says, 'Look, you brought these, but you will also revive, you will restore.'" And so wherever you are, I mean, I have a pretty good vantage point, and I can guess your general age. I can see it. But wherever you are in the aches and pains, the weakness of it, the isolation of it, the troubles of life, remember, God is your rock. And for you who are young, and we have we have everything from weeks to closing on the 90s. Big gap here and just in this room. But establishing the pattern of trust when you're young, establishing the disposition of depending upon the Lord in your youth will embolden you to trust when your strength has failed. God is good all of the time, and all that God does is right. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you are God and you do not change, and therefore we are not consumed. Lord, we thank you that though generations come and generations go and names in this room will be forgotten, we thank you that you remain and you always remember the names of your children. Lord, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not guaranteed gray hairs. But we pray that as long as you give us breath, may we be able to say, "O Lord, you are our refuge, a very present help in time of trouble, our rock and our fortress." May the gladness of our days be filled because of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray, and in whose name we glory. Amen.